Welcome to Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein. You can't get more creative and out there than my guest today. Meet Valerie and Jean, the idiosyncratic fashionistas. The two are style and fashion bloggers whose goal is to inspire and encourage women of a certain age not to be afraid of style, and at the same time, set a bad, bad example for older women everywhere. Since 2009, the idiosyncratic fashionistas have been working to raise the visibility of older women, and as such, are role models for those often ignored by designers in society. As the IFs, and despite working full-time, Valerie and Jean have been featured in several books and a slew of magazines, including Marie Claire and Elle. They appeared in a music video, made the 2013 edition of Stylecasters the 50 Most Stylish New Yorkers. Jean, who's in her 60s and describes herself as goth meets Sunset Boulevard, went to Catholic elementary and high school, and because she wore a uniform every day, loved dressing up on weekends. That's how and when her lifelong love of fashion was born. A move to Soho in New York City in 1977 changed her life. Valerie, who grew up in Brooklyn, moved to Dallas with her boyfriend and spent 4 years working in the fashion industry. They wound up in Japan after answering an ad for English teachers. Valerie spent a lot of time in department stores soaking up the culture and wound up spending 11 years in the land of the rising sun. Their paths crossed in 2008 when Valerie was asked to curate an exhibition of Japanese children's textiles at a New York gallery. The pair discovered they had a lot in common, and so began their friendship and their blogship. Well, enough from me. Let Valerie and Jean fill in the details. So both of you, welcome and thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So let's start with that meeting back in 2008. What attracted you to each other? Valerie, let's start with you.
As you mentioned, I was curating this exhibition of Japanese children's textiles. And the people who were doing the exhibition said, well, you don't have enough guests on your guest list.
That's insulting, isn't it?
Well, I didn't know what number they wanted me to start with, but I did give them everybody I knew that I thought would be interested, as opposed to all the people I knew who absolutely would not be interested. So what I did was I made little invites of my own, and I put them out in children's stores and children's bookstores and children's clothing stores. And one day I was at the vintage show, and I saw Jean, and Jean was wearing this fabulous hat. And I know that women of a certain age have an interest, maybe it's nostalgia or something, for babies' clothing. And since she was clearly interested in textiles, I thought, this might be part of my demographic. And she was with a woman, Judy, who's now a mutual friend of ours. And I just walked up to them and said, you know, I'm doing this show. I thought you might be interested. Here's an invitation. And I handed out invitations to lots of people, but Jean and Judy actually showed up.
And?
Well, it was interesting because I met Valerie that day. I had gotten her invitation, and I was intrigued. And it was at the Manhattan Vintage Show. And they have a really wonderful cafe in the back. And halfway through the show, Judy and I stopped to have a cup of coffee and, you know, get a second wind. And Valerie was there and a bunch of other women. And we all started this kind of like, well, what did you get? And what did you get? And so I, of course, had a bag and I had maybe three hats. So that started a whole conversation about hats. And Valerie joined in. And we had kind of a lot of mutual approaches to things. And that same afternoon, there was a one-woman show in the front of the Manhattan Pavilion, or the Metropolitan Pavilion, and it turned out to be someone that we both knew. So it was very funny. We were sort of like in different orbits, but we, you know, knew a lot of the same people. When I went to, you know, Judy and I went to her gallery opening at the Forbes Gallery, and I probably knew two-thirds of the people there. So she was in an orbit, and I was in an orbit, and we were interacting with a lot of the same people we had never met.
Crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And afterward, we all went out to dinner across the street at a restaurant that Judy knew the owners for. And a wonderful lady who had been at the show paid for champagne for our table. So we had a wonderful first night out.
Boy, you know, orbits notwithstanding, the stars were all colliding.
Exactly.
Yes.
Sometimes things just kind of happen for a reason.
And so the rest is history in terms of your relationship.
Yeah, yes. We just started meeting casually. I didn't know anything about her. She didn't know anything about me. But we thought, well, maybe. I'm guessing we thought there was something that we could do together.
You never talked about that, huh?
Well, there's so many things
in New
York to do. And it's so much more fun when you have somebody that you can sit there and go, look at that. what about this? You know, kind of do the elbow to the side to say, hey, check that out.
Sure.
So, you know, gallery openings, you know, the museums, the park shows, the vintage shows. There's so many things around, and we both kind of take advantage of living in the city to the max.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So it was really nice to have a partner in crime to kind of go and see some of the same kinds of things.
You know, you're never too old to make new friends.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that's what's kind of really exciting. I mean, you have the people that you have a history with, but the fact is that you can welcome new faces into your life.
We also have the time to do that. Neither of us have children.
But you both work full time.
But we both work full time, right. But the things that would keep other people very busy, like having Thanksgiving dinner or having the grandchildren over, mm-hmm. or going to visit the children, going mm-hmm. to visit the grandchildren, whatever. That's not something that we need to concentrate on.
Sure.
And that I think that maybe gives us a little more expendable income. So there are things that we can treat ourselves to that other people might not be interested in, even if they're able to. They've got other focuses.
A friendship forms, and then shortly thereafter, so does a blog. I want to hear more about the idiosyncratic fashionistas, which really is a great name, but then speaks volumes, too. Tell me about the birth of that blog.
It was very funny because we would go places and people would approach us and say, well, do you have a card? And, you know, it's like kind of a mutual card or something. We're kind of like, well, no, you know. And I wasn't giving out business cards because we don't use our last names on the blog or anything. And I do remember distinctly we were at an Japanese deco show, and a woman approached us and asked us what we did. And you know, it's kind of like people had kind of said, why don't you do a blog? Neither one of us knew how to do this. And luckily, Valerie hunted it down and figured out how there's a couple blog sites that will actually help you build your own blog.
So that part of it was easy.
Yeah. I don't even know if it needs to be easy. I think the two of us just have a lot to say. We weren't setting out to be the next Isaac Dinesen or anything. We just wanted to get our point out there.
Okay.
And the blog doesn't really, as a format, the blog doesn't really lend itself to wonderful writing. People aren't really interested in wonderful writing. They're interested in photographs that are accompanied by a little squib of writing. We're trying to make it a conversation, even though we don't get a lot of feedback on the blog itself. We get feedback from people when we meet them.
And so that you we say know who that, you are?
Well, people know who we
They recognize
are.
Us. It's really interesting. I went to Florida and I met a bunch of girlfriends from college. And in the airport, while we were waiting for another group of our friends to show up, people were approaching me. There were women there from Australia. There were women there from Boston. They were, you know, changing planes and would come right up to me and say, where's Valerie?
Wow.
And my girlfriends are kind of like, the heck is going on? You know, because, you know, they maybe read it.
Well, yeah, and your blog comes with photos, obviously.
Right. And yes. So they recognize it from photos. Even when I'm in line at Starbucks, the man behind the counter recognized me, this older gentleman, who pulled me aside to say that women our age don't dress, they don't wear makeup, they don't do this and that. And I needed to do a better job of educating them to do better. And I just kind of did a little salute and said, yes, sir.
What is your fashion style? You're big hat wearers, correct?
I think the hats have come to symbolize us. We don't need to wear hats, but we do like them.
What do you mean you don't need to wear hats? Who needs to wear hats?
Okay, that's a good question. I think our style, each of us stylistically would be complete without the hat. But again, when I met Jean, she was wearing a hat, and I myself have 100 hats in my home.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a big hat wearer as well.
Always were?
Ever since I discovered that I caught cold less by wearing a hat. It was first a health issue and then it became a style.
Fashion issue.
You learn to fold it into what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But to try and answer your question, we have a lot of similarities. You can see we're both wearing black and gray. We're monochrome today. So we have certain similarities, but we have certain things that I know there are certain things in my wardrobe that Jean wouldn't wear. Probably the most colorful of them she would not consider wearing, even though she might like them.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things in her wardrobe that I can't wear just because our bodies are different.
Well, of course.
I would say that for me, it's important that I love texture. I would say that I'm textural, architectural, and graphic. And Jean has her own style.
Which Jean is?
My joke is it's goth meets Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, that's a great description.
I love black.
Mm-hmm.
I wear it almost exclusively,
mm-hmm.
And leopard print. And I have this real fondness for Gloria Swanson and all her leopard. I think that I have influenced Valerie's wardrobe a lot because she wears a lot more black now than when I first met her. And maybe that's just because of the selection of outfits when we first met that were more, just happened to be more colorful at the time. But we're also urbanites. We don't have to dress to hike and you know, in the city. So, you know, hats really are an accessory.
Uh-huh.
And I always think that they are a necessary accessory. We're very supportive of the New York Milliner Guild. They do events around the city. When we go to the Easter Parade every year, it's a celebration of dressing up and hats. And that's when you see some of the most wonderful hats. It's a very fine line sometimes between costumey and dressing up. And we dress for everything. I mean,
do you cross the line?
I would say no. I think both
only
of us.
Only consciously if we want to, I think. There are sometimes that we've
there are days
for
that
the
you
parade. People dress up for the parade.
For
and
sure.
I think we're more costumey at the Easter Parade than we would be to go to the Metropolitan Museum opening of the punk show.
Right. But
I think most of the stuff that I wear, mm-hmm. if I wore it to work, nobody would be surprised. I can't wear a hat to work, mm-hmm. or it would be silly if I wore a hat to work.
Indoors all day. Sure.
But almost anything else that's in my closet, if I wear it to work for some occasion or another, I don't think most people at my job would bat an eye.
I'm sure you also walk down the street and people may stare at you. Why do I say that? Because, yeah, also, you're older, you're out there, you know, you're kind of outré in what you're wearing, and I think that's a good thing.
It's very interesting because if we're out individually, you get the looks, mm-hmm. but no one really talks to you as much. When you're together, there's something about two people together that's much less threatening. So when we're together, people will come up to us, strangers on the street, and start a conversation or ask us questions.
And say, where's the party?
Uh-huh. Or just kind of, you know, even kind of like, I wish I could dress like that. You guys look great. You know, and you want to say back to them, all you have to do is shop your closet. You know, you've got the stuff. Just wear it.
If you're just joining us, my guests today are Valerie and Jean. They are the idiosyncratic fashionistas, bloggers, and we're having a really exciting conversation here. Now, I'm wondering if I'm feeling, no, I don't feel intimidated because I wear whatever I want to wear. But for somebody like me, I never made a statement with my clothing or with my makeup or necessarily with my hair. I always made the statement with my mouth that I would walk into a room and you would know who I am based on my mouth.
That's a conscious decision, and that's perfect because what we're just trying to do is get the word out for people to look like what they want to look like, live the life they want to live. There's so many women that appear like that they've sort of given up. It's like they've sort of finished their life, they're in retirement, and now all the pressure's off so they can just schlub.
Mm-hmm. We're not saying that you have to. We're saying that you can. We get a lot of feedback from women who say, we wish we could dress like you, but they live in the suburbs and they've tried it and they can't do it because people will make fun of them.
And they can't handle the comments.
Well, why would you want to after a while?
Or why can't you ignore them after a while?
Yes, you can, I suppose. It's an individual decision to make. I don't feel like I don't get too many negative comments. I get a lot of positive comments. But again, mostly I'm in New York City. Perhaps if I were living in, I don't know,
Dubuque.
Iowa or something.
Oh, that's funny. We both said Iowa. Yeah.
Maybe mm-hmm. that would be different. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I'm pretty certain it would be different because that's what our feedback tells us. But also, we did do a spot for CNN.com a couple of years ago. We were interviewed as women who dress up.
Mm-hmm.
A whole slew of us were interviewed. And doing that was fun and it was
empowering.
Yes, it was great. It was great to have that spotlight. Not so much to have the spotlight, but just to show that you don't die after you're 50. You go on being interesting and funny and engaging, et cetera. But what interested us was the good old CNN feedback. Now, trolls are everywhere. There's no reason that we shouldn't get trolls as well. But there were a lot of nasty comments that people look like clowns. They look like they've got lampshades on their heads. Why are they wearing so many colors? Blah, blah, blah. And it's true. You know, we were wearing hats and I was colorful for sure.
There were about eight women, though, in the group,
uh-huh.
older women that do dress.
What was the point of the interview?
That woman has gone on to do other focuses on older women. And so she was doing, I think she was trying to do advanced style primarily. She was doing a spotlight on advanced style. So she did a number of women from the book who dress up.
Mm-hmm.
And the focus of the book is on dressing up. It's not on I don't know, being a Nobel Prize winning scientist or anything. It's how you look.
Were you shocked by the negative comments?
Yes.
We shouldn't have been because CNN invites that.
They don't encourages.
Literally invite
anything
it. I won't even say that. It's just that it's open to the public.
Okay.
And you get people who have nothing better to do at 3 o'clock in the morning than to make fun.
Well, everybody's a critic.
Everybody's a critic. So we don't have to take it personally. But it was surprising that we didn't get more people. Well, we did get at least 50% of people saying, yeah, right on, you go, girl, and things like that. We got a lot of positive encouragement from the women. I think more it was the men who were negative. Perhaps they were intimidated by the whole idea of women empowering themselves.
But I'm looking at both of you, and granted, this is audio, and I'm hard-pressed to figure out why what you look like elicits any comment, although, Jean, you are wearing a funky hat.
And Valerie's wearing a hat with wings.
And Valerie is, and Valerie's wearing a hat with wings and what, like knee highs that are red with big white dots on them, and you have pretty funky shoes on. But what's my point?
Well, that's just it. It's you know, with all the other serious things going on in the world right now, you know, with...
You mean politically?
Politically and viruses that are spreading and,
right.
You know, global unrest. It's so much nicer to just take a step back and, you know, when you're living your life day to day, just do it with style.
And class.
Yeah, you have to be dressed anyway. Why not like what you wear?
Mm-hmm.
And there are people who aren't interested in that, and we get that. And we're not out to change people. We understand that you have different priorities. If you're not interested in dressing or color, we're not going to heap scorn on anybody. This is our interest. It's as if we were musicians. We wouldn't be telling people to like this kind of music and not like that kind of music.
But you might be exposing them to this kind of music or that kind of music.
Yeah, and they can make their own choices.
So what's the message in your blogs?
You know, our blog is really far-flung. I mean, we interviewed a 80-year-old beekeeper on the roof. You know, she kept her beehives down near Union Square.
Amazing, here
in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. You know, and we learned all about how the city regulates beehives. They have a number on the top so they can be checked by helicopter going over so that you don't have illegal things. You know, and rooftop gardening. We go to a lot of museum openings and events and cover them and kind of give a little background for our readers, you know, to help them, almost bring them along for the ride. We cover a lot of different topics. And activities. And it's just kind of, you know, out in the world.
It doesn't have to do with fashion necessarily. We try to do something that would be of interest to, well, first to ourselves and by extension to older women. But what's also interesting is that we're bringing along a lot of younger people as well.
That's great.
Lots of people come up to us that we've never seen before and ask if they can take our picture. And we kind of feel like the way we're dressed, how could we say, no, we're private citizens. You can't take our picture.
Right. That's sort of speaking out of both sides of your mouth,
yeah,
as it were.
Yeah. And the more we can do to encourage people, actually, we do the same thing ourselves. We'll be walking down the street and we'll see somebody whose hair we like or whose clothing we like. And we'll just say, that's a great hairdo to that person. You know, we're just walking on by. We're not necessarily engaging them in anything long term. But we find that if we do that with other people also do that with us. So we might say, love your hairdo, and they'll say, love your hat, and then we'll just keep going on our way. It puts a wonderful little, I don't know what the word is, it's a great little intermission in your day. It's
right.
A very positive interaction with somebody that you don't know. It's a kind of way of paying it forward. Who knows what that person will do with that afterward. The more people who compliment each other, who don't even know each other.
Well, how great is that?
Yeah.
And that really does make your day when somebody who has no investment in you says something nice to
you. We've been doing this for 5 years and it still makes my day.
Yeah. One thing we did make a conscious decision of early on was to not be snarky. We don't do negative. I mean, if we go somewhere or something and we didn't like it, we're not going to go, you know, and use the blog as some kind of platform and rant. We do have what we call a wine bar, W-H-I-N-E,
I know.
From time to time on a particular topic. But it's not a personalized thing. It's not against a specific event or person. It's more about, you know, the confluence of events.
Do you do makeovers?
For other people?
For other women?
We haven't been asked to.
But
we would love that opportunity.
I bet the temptation might be there, wouldn't it, if you saw somebody and you just thought, boy, if you did thus and such, it could make a huge difference.
Ooh, you're giving me some ideas.
A lot of people don't really want it.
Stating the obvious in a way. You know, what comes so naturally to you, for example, does not come that naturally to me. I'm surprised that that's not part of your repertoire.
It's on the blog, actually, somewhere hidden on the blog. It says, if you'd like to consult with us on this, this, and this, we'd be happy to do that.
But we're not personal shoppers. It's not like we could take someone out and
make them over.
Make them over in that sense. Ours is much more kind of product development, like getting to people to say, couldn't you make stylish, comfortable shoes for older women?
Yes.
We're not going to be wearing those giant stiletto platform shoes. We're not going to wear the little short dresses on the red carpet. We're working women. We're going out. We want to be stylish and comfortable. We don't have the bodies of those women on the red carpet.
Thank God.
But we are a demographic that's being ignored right now. Someone turns 65 every 8 seconds.
Yes, I read that statistic when I was doing research on you. And while we're at it, I'll keep quoting you that according to Prudential, the insurance company, 10,000 people retire every day. That's stunning. And women of a certain age, as in boomer women, have more than $45 billion in disposable income. And while I'm ranting about that, that's the thing that stuns me the most. I don't have a kid in college anymore. I can buy a new car. I can take a trip wherever I want. And I am invisible to the advertisers. And that just blows my
mind. You have no place to put your expendable income.
We're marginalized.
I can't believe it.
There's not a product for us. There's a demand. And that's, I think that also explains why a lot of women don't dress. They can't find when they go into regular department stores, and especially when you're not in places like LA and New York and Miami and Chicago, where you've got a lot more options than certain neighborhoods. Their choices are so limited.
So where do you shop?
We shop, let's see, I'm not wearing anything today that I bought new. Not anything.
So you're a recycler, you're a recycling shopper?
Well, the thing is, for me, when I go into a regular department store, I'm going to see racks and racks and racks of blue suits, for example. And that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the anti-blue suit.
Give me an example.
Well, see, this is it. I don't find it most of the places I shop. Mm-hmm. And where I could find it, I can't afford that. So what I do is I let other people do the shopping for me, so to speak. And when I get to a secondhand shop, there's this just very concentrated, small amount of clothing that I need to look at. It's in my price range. And it's usually slightly unconventional. And that's probably why it wound up there, because most people didn't know what to do with it or didn't like it, or maybe their boyfriend didn't like it or something. So I get to find fairly unconventional, nonconformist, interesting, well-made, formerly expensive clothing at prices that I can afford. So that's where I shop. I can't afford to shop, and I wouldn't want to spend my time shopping where everything is new, because there are going to be racks and racks and racks and racks. I don't have that kind of free time.
You mean to go through the racks and racks
even,
and racks and racks?
Yeah, to go through Bergdorf's. If I had the income to go through Bergdorf's, wouldn't that be great? And if I had the free time to go through Bergdorf's, wouldn't that be great? But I
haven't.
Well,
that's a Tony department store for people who don't know, just in case, who might be listening from Dubuque, forgive me.
I also think we do some shopping at craft shows, where you've got, you know, like the Philadelphia Museum Craft Show.
Wow.
Where they have clothing, they have jewelry, they have hats, they have, you know, and then things like tableware and things like that. But for articles of clothing, they even have a shoemaker that makes handmade shoes. Now, it's investment buying. And we come from a generation where it was not, clothing wasn't disposable. It's not like it is today, where people, kids buy stuff for a season. And by the end of the season, it's worn out.
Mm-hmm.
We were into investment clothing, where you'd buy a jacket this season. Next year, you'd buy a skirt, and you'd build on that wardrobe, because they were classics that would last. They were built to last. And that's why we buy a lot of vintage, because the workmanship in it, the stitching, the tailoring, and just the construction holds up over time.
When you're going to the supermarket, I'll use me as an example, or I'll go out in a pair of sweatpants, or I'll put on a pair of shorts, whatever. You're shaking your head.
Nope, doesn't happen. I don't even own a pair of jeans.
And you're
the
proud
one time
of that.
I was outed was recently. I do a cat rescue, and my husband and I were going back to a backyard in the East Village to clean out a lot of muck.
Mm-hmm.
So we were dressed for it. I had my rubber gloves. I had everything else. And of course, we're walking down the street, and this woman comes up. She goes, "I met you at the Metropolitan Museum when you were dressed like one of the paintings." And she says, "Ask me something else about the blog." And we walked on. My husband looked at me and goes, "Outed." And it was the one time in like a zillion years that I wasn't dressed. But she recognized me, and I thought, well, that was a good sign.
But you're not going to clean out muck as if you were going to the fall ball.
I don't think I own anything that's not. I mean, look, we're not young women.
Okay.
And we've collected these clothes for a very long time. So you could call us curators of our own wardrobes. I don't really think I own anything.
That's schlocky?
That's schlocky, yeah. And by the time it does get to be schlocky, then, okay, it becomes my nightgown. And I'll wear it around the house while I'm doing the, you know, cleaning up. Mm-hmm. It won't go outside the house because it's got stains on it or whatever. I don't guess that's recycling it, but I'll cycle it for as long as it's good inside the house. But most anything that I wear outside the house is coordinated to go with anything else that I have. I could probably put my wardrobe together without looking.
My exception to that is sports. I golf. My husband's an ex-triathlete, mm-hmm. So we hike, bike. So I have that kind of clothing. It's more like performance wear, where it's going to breathe, it's going to be...
But do you make an effort,
decisions.
I guess, when you're going hiking as to what you're going to put on?
Oh, yes.
Is that athletic, what you're wearing?
Yes, I'm wearing a yoga jacket.
So it's you see it fits right into what she's wearing.
And I just incorporated it with hair and pants and a vintage Stetson bowler.
Where did you buy your shoes? As we were talking about the fact that, you know, all these stilettos and, you know, platform
it's
shoes.
So hard.
So dumb. You know, those shoes are so
And they're beautiful.
Well, and, they're pieces and I used of to art, and that's wonderful and whatever. But, I mean, I wear Nike sneakers. My idea of a heel is maybe, you know, am I making, what is that, an inch, two inches or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be buried in flats.
You know, it's funny. There's a show on at the Brooklyn Museum right this very minute on
Killer Heels.
Killer Heels.
I interviewed the curator.
And last year, there was another show at FIT, which could very well have been called Killer Heels. So we'd like there to be a show called Killer Flats.
And they exist. And you can be...
You have to search so hard for them.
Well, that's why we're lucky we live in New York. We mm-hmm, have more mm-hmm. access and resources. My shoes are from Trash and Vaudeville, the punk store on St. Mark's Place in the East Village. They're called Creepers. You know, they have about a 2-inch sole. They're flat. I call them flat forms because they don't have a heel and a high arch. They're flat across, and they're Oxford, and they're tie shoes. They are so comfortable. It's the equivalent of orthopedic shoes, except they're not beige. You know, they're black and white, and they're kind of in your face.
And they are made of leather.
Yes.
So what's in the future for you two ladies?
Well, we were approached several days ago about doing a book. One never knows how serious that is, but we definitely like the idea of doing another book. We have a first book out called Life Dressing, The Idiosyncratic Fashionistas by Joanna Avalez. Who simply took pictures of us off the internet and made them into illustrations and compiled a book. So we'd like to take that further. We have a few ideas, but nothing that we can talk about yet.
Well, that's okay. Then when those ideas come to fruition, you can come back and talk about them.
Fabulous.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yes. And it's that time of year. There's a lot of stuff going on. Last week was the Manhattan Vintage Show, where a lot of our friends who are bloggers came in from out of town. Next weekend, we're going to the Philadelphia Museum Craft Show. It's our pilgrimage. There are certain vendors there. There's a hat vendor who comes from Virginia, Ignatius, who makes the most amazing hats. Valerie commissioned him to make a hat in the shape of the Guggenheim Museum.
Oh, God, that's great.
And it's incredible.
It's incredible.
And he did it to the point that when she tips her head over, the top of the skylight has Swarovski crystals in it. It's amazing.
He's a genius.
He's really amazing.
Is Frank Lloyd Wright turning over in his grave, do you think?
I hope Frank Lloyd Wright is smiling broadly.
Yeah, I hope so too. Well, I think we'll end on that kind of upbeat note because, believe it or not, we've run out of time. I'm always so stunned when I glance at the clock and think, oh my God, we've done a half an hour already. So Valerie and Jean, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much
and
for inviting
sharing
us.
Sharing your lifestyles and your loves. It was really fascinating.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Join us for another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein.